Guard Bernie Gallagher's Bally Lennon song has been accepted by the Irish chapter of the New York Police Department Social Club for their song competition, and they've provided a return airfare for him to sing it. Fonsy Doherty, chairman of the Bally Lennon Development Association, has decided that he should travel with Guard Gallagher, the association paying for his ticket. Guard Gallagher's singing teacher, Vivian Hawthorne, then applies to the association for similar assistance, believing that the singer should have his own pianist. This inspires the association's honorary secretary, Muriel McConkie, to request that she travels as well to look after administrative matters. Her sister Vera, operator of the manual telephone exchange, is kept busy with urgent calls relating to this and other matters of profound importance. Ballylennon, 1956.
Ballylennon call offers, how can I help you?
Oh, good morning, Mrs. McIldewey.
I'm not so bad, thanks. What number are you looking for?
Oh, Ballylennon 3, did you not know the barracks is closed for renovation?
Guard Gallagher, well, you're not far out because he's lodging here with us. Only temporarily, mind you.
Mr. Doherty, number 11, I'm afraid you're out of luck there too. I'm just after putting a call through to his estate agency and it was answered by young Packy McGoldrick.
Oh, you're right. They're playing round the place, sucking lollipops, and you blink your eye, and there they are, dressed in blue suits, running the town.
I will, of course, Mrs. McIldewey. I'll tell them both. Goodbye now.
Muriel! Muriel!
What is it, Vera?
Look, where are you at all?
I'm cleaning out the cupboard under the stairs. But you know what I'm after finding. The pieces of the statue of the Infant of Pride that fell off the top of the wardrobe the time we were dusting out the room for Guard Gallagher's first visit.
That wouldn't be right to throw it out. Oh, Rosalba McIldewey from the travel agency was on to say she has the aeroplane tickets for Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Doherty to New York and back. Whichever of them is next, Lester Kenny can pick them up.
Oh.
What?
Did he only mention two tickets, Vera?
That's right.
And then Fonsy Doherty mustn't have booked for me.
I should have asked her, was there any whisper of another ticket?
No, better you didn't. I wouldn't like the whole of Letterkenny to know I'd applied to the development committee for a ticket and been turned down.
Ah, he might have overlooked it. I'll ring him now. Oh, no, he's out. What did you say in your letter?
I worded it very carefully. I said that as the secretary of the Ballylennon Development Association for the past 17 years, I wish to be considered to go to New York to be responsible for the arrangements for Guard Gallagher's participation in a singing competition and the chairman's tourist promotion.
That wasn't nearly strong enough, Muriel. Oh, I wish that you'd shown me the letter.
Well,
and it's not like him not to reply. Did you leave it into the Swilly Arms yourself?
I did, when I knew he'd be out. Josie was at the reception desk.
Oh, look, will I give her a ring? She might have forgotten to hand it to him. There's a terrible clutter of old papers under that counter.
Oh, no, Vera, no. I wouldn't like Josie to know I was disappointed.
Sure, you're not missing much. New York's greatly overrated, I hear. You could be robbed in the subway. I believe it's thronged with people of every shade of colour you wouldn't find in a paint box.
But what do we do without him when he's away?
A week isn't a long time, Muriel. The Development Association will survive without Mr. Doherty, and so will the Swilly Arms and his estate agency, and so will you.
Is that you, Mickey Joe? Would you dump those bags of manure out the back? Packy McGoldrick can show you where they are.
Oh, Miss Bowl. I mean, Mrs. Hawthorne. You know, I thought you were someone else.
Good afternoon, Mr. Doherty.
Were you ringing that bell long? I don't know where Josie's gone to.
I wasn't looking for Josie. I was looking for you. And may I have a word?
You may indeed, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Shall we talk here in reception?
If that's all right with you. I'm ousted from my desk in the estate agency next door. Ousted, Mrs. Hawthorne, by our friend Packy McGoldrick, who seems to be taking over the whole place. And the little room at the back of the hotel is crammed. Crammed of every sort of up-to-date utensil for the Hoover homestead. I'm like an exile in my own land. No place to lay my head.
I hope you don't lay your head on your desk.
Well, no, I grant you. I don't often do that. But I'm a man that can do his work standing up or walking on to the next job. Busy, Mrs. Hawthorne.
I won't take up your time then. I understand you'll be accompanying Mr. Gallagher to the singing competition in New York.
That's right. I'm going with him, all right. He's going with me.
And might I ask if this is at your own expense?
Ah, I wish it was. No, but I don't have that kind of money.
So how are you managing to travel then? None of my business, of course.
It is your business, Mrs. Halton, as a member of the committee. You see, as chairman, I have the right to make urgent decisions on expenditure for the good of the community.
Are you able to make decisions on behalf of other members?
To be honest, I don't rightly know. I'd have to look that one up.
What I'm asking for is a special meeting to consider my application for funds to travel to New York as Mr. Gallagher's accompanist.
His accompanist?
He can't possibly do any good in the competition if he has some unknown local person to play for him. If he fails, or if, God forbid, he makes a show of himself, that will do no good at all for the tourism promotion, which I understand you'll be undertaking at the same time.
Well, you're very, very welcome to a meeting any time, Mrs. Hawthorne. But Gallagher won't fail. Now, as you're suggesting, I have every confidence in him, and I know he'll do us proud. Now, will you get a date off Miss McConkie?
I'll consider it. There is just one factor which may intervene, and that is my condition.
Your condition?
It's something I failed to consider when I wrote proposing that I should accompany Mr. Gallagher. The Lord has seen fit to bless our union, and so a protracted Atlantic flight might not be advisable. But I'll take proper advice on that. I won't trouble you with the details. Mr. Doherty, good evening. Did you get my sister's letter?
Josie! Turn that joke off!
Well, can you beat that?
What?
It's this Hawthorne in here trying to scrounge a ticket to America out of the Development Association.
I hope you won't look at my sister's request in the same way. But she didn't like to speak to you herself to save you the embarrassment of saying no to her face. I just slipped out where the switch is closed for lunch.
You see, there's nothing I can do except to advise her to seek a special meeting, just as I'm after advising Mrs. Hawthorne.
All Mrs. Hawthorne wants is to go gallivanting in New York and to be seen nursemaid and guard Gallagher all round the sites.
Well, it'll be me who's doing that. Tell me, has he got a bit more scattered in the head since this competition came up? Staring away into the distance without seeing what's going on financially.
You're right. He ate his fried bread this morning as if there was nothing on the plate. And a minute later he said, is there no fried bread?
Well, all I can say is what I said to Mrs. Hawthorne. Request a special meeting to apply for funds. But what I didn't say to Mrs. Hawthorne is that there isn't any funds.
Oh?
Peggy McGoldrick has them all spent on improvements for the Hoover homestead.
Well, then there's not much point in her applying.
No, none. Except that you can tell your sister. She's in the privileged position of having that information from me in advance of any meeting. It won't be a case of Mrs. Hawthorne going and she not going.
She'll be spared that annoyance anyway. She's a bit low on herself, Mr. Doherty, staying in the house except for mass and devotions, and looking out of the window counting the magpies and the sparrows. She usedn't be like that at all.
Ah, she's a great intellect, your sister.
I wouldn't ask this of anyone but yourself, Mr. Doherty, but did you notice any change in her?
And she's very religious, too. Very religious.
But the other thing, the sign's importance.
So we all have our vagaries.
Oh, can you imagine me with the two in the house, herself on guard, Gallagher?
Stop! Stop!
Hello, Mrs. Hawthorne.
How are you setting up a roadblock, Mr. Gallagher? Was I speeding or has my license expired?
No, Mrs. Hawthorne. I have instructions to warn all motorists that there's an obstacle on the Rathmullen Road.
I'm not going to Rathmullen.
Ah, but if you were, a heifer fell into a shoch.
Oh, I'm going home to get the tea. But now that you've stopped me, I might as well give you the bit of news. It's not very good.
You're not going to be accompanying me in the New York concert.
You must have a crystal ball.
I was steeling myself for that news, so it's no surprise. I'll just have to put up with whoever they give me.
If you find at rehearsal that the accompanist doesn't suit, be firm. Request a replacement.
Well, that'd be a bad thing to do out for them.
No, they'd respect you for it. You take a deep breath, hold your back straight, keep your stomach in, tell yourself you're the best singer in the world and step out onto the stage. Oh, and I've something else to tell you.
Aye.
It was clear from the minute I started talking to Mr. Doherty that I wasn't going to get help towards this trip. But since then, I've been to see Dr. McCarville.
Oh?
And he advised me against going anyway. For health reasons.
You're getting over the tonsillitis.
I got over that days ago. We aren't completely certain yet, but I think there's going to be a happy...
Hello there!
Hello, Mr. Bonner! Mr. Bonner's looking aboard with you.
I can see him in the mirror, gesticulating.
It takes him twice as long as anyone else to cover the ground.
And it takes him twice as long as anyone else to come to the wrong conclusion.
I was afraid you'd drive off, Mrs. Hawthorne. This will save me a walk out to the manse. I need some information for Friday's Vindicator.
I don't want to cause another obstruction.
If another vehicle comes, I'll wave it down. Good luck now.
Don't forget, practice is at 8 this Thursday. Our new song...
I have it in the forefront of my mind.
He has a powerful pair of lungs, so he has. I need the list of forthcoming church events, so I do.
Did you not receive them in the post?
That's the question. But where are they? I think they must have fallen behind the loose skirting in the gentleman's waiting room where I write my copy between the trains. I don't like to put my hand in there in case I get a wee nip from one of the four-legged residents, you know.
You should sprinkle the place liberally with ratto.
It's the job of the other employees of the railway company to keep the station in order.
It may not be for much longer.
There's talk of them making an offer to any person who's been employed over 20 years. I started there as a porter when I was 16, so I did, when there were 10 trains a day.
You haven't given up the campaign to keep the railway open.
That depends on the offer.
I hope you aren't relinquishing the robes of idealism for the rags of materialism.
I put on whatever clothes are handy to me when I get out of the bed. No, what I was looking for is the church events. Where's my wee notebook? Ah.
There's a service of intercession for those who are weak of spirit next Sunday at 3 in Drumskittrick.
Those who are weak of what?
Spirit.
Weak of spirit at Drumskittrick.
And of course we have the brownies every Saturday afternoon. You know that.
Brownies? I often wondered about them, so I did.
What about?
Is it a cookery class?
And on the 20th, we're joining with the congregations of Lifford and Rafoe for a choral evening of Reformation paraphrases and doxologies.
That'll draw a big crowd. Any weddings or baptisms?
No, but I may have news of one of the latter in due course.
Is that a fact?
Well, I hope so. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be getting on. You may telephone my husband before 6 if you need anything else. He's going out to a service of penitence for women of riper years.
I'm sure that'll draw a big crowd too. Mind you don't run over that heifer.
There just isn't the money in the kitchen area. Young Peggy McGoldrick has every penny or cent spent or promised for improvements to the Hoover homestead. Well, I'd not be surprised if we have to declare an operating deficit at the AGM.
But it's only a couple of months since Mrs. McFinney sent us a check.
You're spot on there, Muriel. Speedy Gonzales, he should have been christened. No sooner did I confirm his appointment as curator than he had his two hands on the till. As you know, Muriel, now that there's no money for you to take your richly deserved trip to America.
Well, I was only wondering how you'd manage in New York on your own.
Won't I have Guy Gallagher with me?
Poor Guard Gallagher will get lost in his own backyard. You'll have to get him to handcuff himself to you so he'll get to the right place for the competition.
Ah, I'll turn him over to the people who's running it, the Irish chapter or whatever they're called.
Josie, will you bring a cup of tea to the lounge, Mr. Conkey?
Aye. They might show him there is devices for the prevention of crime, the walkie-talkies and that.
Mm-hmm.
He might bring back a few ideas to give to the superintendent in Letterkenny.
It could be a useful visit for him, Fancy. It could improve him.
Oh, yes, indeed, it could. But if he's inclined to get lost around the place, can't they lock him in one of the cells?
I'd love to see New York.
Now, I won't say I'm not disappointed you can't come. But as I say, the coffers are empty.
How much did your ticket cost the association, Fancy?
Not too much. I got a very substantial cut from McAldooey's, the travel agents. Of course, They know there'll be benefits for them when the American visitors start coming.
I've a little money put away in the post office.
You have?
Mm-hmm. It would probably cover the cost of a plane ticket.
Oh, you'd be very foolish to squander your lifetime savings on something as frivolous as a junket.
But I thought I might just spend it on something unusual.
A roll of linoleum for the stairs or a new gutter for the roof. Something that'll stand by you when you need it. Oh. Money spent on the likes of a holiday's gone, but not on the show for it. Evaporated, Muriel, into air, into thin air.
Well, I suppose you're right, Fonz.
Your wee nest egg gone up in smoke.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Your whole financial future in flames.
It's not a big sum.
Take care of the pence. Now, that's good advice from one who knows. Ah, how are you, Stumpy? Hello, Fonz. Ah, hasn't Stumpy got a way of turning up just when two people don't want to be interrupted?
He's been sitting over there ever since I came in.
How do you know I didn't see him?
Hello, Miss McConkie.
Good evening, Mr. Bonner.
Miss McConkie and me was just going to take a cup of tea. Where's Josie? What's happened? Will you join us?
I was thinking of going inside for a game of darts when I finish my pint.
Not at all, not at all. Sit down, you take a cup of tea now. Josie! Where is she at all, at all? Oh, I'll end up making it myself. Sit down there on the wee stool, Stumpy. Now, you're the man to tell us about the arrangements for Guard Gallagher's send-off from the station for America.
Oh, the send-off will draw more attention to the railway, so well.
That's right, it will. Howard mustn't be closed down.
I could prepare a speech of farewell on behalf of the Development Association.
The very thing. And you'd be the woman to read it out to a nicety, Miss McConkie. Okay. Isn't that right, Stumpy? I said, isn't that right?
She'll be as good as Mrs. Roosevelt, so she will.
Oh.
Or better?
I'll give it a lot of thought, the speech.
Put in something about my single-handed struggle to save the railway and how the directors are all superannuated toffs with no regard for the welfare of the workers.
And don't forget to wish Guy Gallagher well in the singing.
I'll go on now. I'd like to start on it while it's fresh in my mind. It's a task that requires some study.
Indeed it does, Mr. Conkey, and a lot of brains. Mm-hmm. you never got your tea, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. You can have two cups.
Good luck now. Honest to God, Stumpy. The women's are a race to their own.
There's no logic to that. Where's the tea?
There's no tea. Josie's out of dumb schizophrenic with Packy McGoldrick supervising her sticking up of the wallpaper in the Hoover bedroom. I only mentioned the tea to Miss McConkie because I thought the conversation might get a bit tense over her not going to America.
I'd still like the cup of tea.
Finish your pint and we'll go into the kitchen. You know, I don't know what's come over Miss McConkie. Consultant spider's webs to see whether she'll be going to America. Well, she's not going. She'll have to do her nature watching at home where she's needed. Though she's an excellent Hans Sector Development Association.
She hasn't sailed, so she...
Oh, she has. You see, it's the good breed. There were prominent families on both sides. Her father was the only one who died of drink.
Aye, but you're right about the women. I think Mrs. Hawthorne's going off her nut, too.
What?
I said I think she's going off her nut. Giving me information for the paper about... Where have I? Oh, yeah. Doxologies. What's a doxology?
Hey, God, Stumpy, you have me there.
Well, how can I write it up if I don't know what it is? And if I don't know what it is, who of my readers is going to know what it is?
Oh, you need a dictionary for a thing like that.
I need no dictionary. I'm a professional journalist.
Aye. You know, it could be to do with the phases of the moon.
What?
The women. Acting strange.
Aye. Did you say you were going to make that cup of tea?
All right. 3, 4...
I walked alone this April day by Lennon's flowing streams. The place is just the same as when I dreamed my childhood dreams. I stand beneath this brave old oak, my memory to employ, on thinking back to days of yore when I was but a boy. But then I left for other shores my daily wage to earn. On far Nebraska's grassy plains to toil was my concern. I earned my bread and saved a bit, but my thoughts did always stray across the wave beyond the foam to Ballylennon Bay.
Bravo! If you can keep that up for 11 verses, you'll win the endurance test as well as the singing trophy.
Do you think 11 verses is too long?
Not if the audience is largely made up of Americans of Irish descent, and it probably will be. The police force is one section of society which draws predominantly on that ethnic group I was reading recently. In fact, they'll probably call for more.
I could cut a couple of verses at the last minute if I wasn't sure.
Yes, and keep them for encores. But I think one verse will be quite sufficient for the send-off at the station tomorrow, especially as that'll be unaccompanied. Now, verse 3.
I then went on to Boston, to that city of great fame. I heard that Donegal men there had made themselves a name.
As you all know, I'm not used to making speeches, but as Secretary of the Development Association, I could not let this auspicious occasion pass without thanking you all for coming out to wish safe journey to one of Ballylennon's finest sons. There is no doubt that he will do us proud when he stands forth to entertain the people of New York.
Your friend out of this trolley car.
Is it steady?
Yes, of course. Do you think I want you to break her neck and meet to have to sing your song? Go ahead.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope I won't disappoint you.
Show them how it's done! Yeah!
Just a minute, ladies and gentlemen. I have some further words to add. I would like to pay tribute to one who has worked tirelessly for the people of Ballylennon. From the
Back now, here it comes. Get up there alongside the guard. I'm not looking for adulation.
No, but you'd like it anyway.
A noted footballer in his youth, a successful treasurer of the Altar Fund, a long-time member of St. Joseph of Arimathea's Past Pupils Association, and...
I wish he'd quit.
I love your hands, you will.
Let her have a moment of glory.
For repairing the roads, especially in this parish. A leading hotelier whose hospitable hearth has welcomed many a weary traveller. A respected estate agent. Well, I'm sure you don't need me to remind you of his name.
Would you not? It's Mussolini's mammy.
There he is, standing over by the parcels office, Mr. Alphonsus Docherty.
Go on, open your beak.
Thank you, Mr. Conkey, for that eloquent and undeserved tribute. I will be out there in America publicizing this town for tourism. And not only this town, but the whole county, too. This affecting send-off here at the station has been organized by Mr. Queeveen Bonner, standing here beside me, behind me.
He's behind that mouthchorn.
Mr. Bonner can't speak because he's an official of a railway company, but I'd like to say we all appreciate his determination to keep the line open. Mr. Bonner's a modest man. He isn't going to take a bow. So I'll thank you all again. And off we go.
You won't. The train's late and I don't see any sign of the smoke down the line.
Excuse me.
Blue arse flies buzzing our way into everything.
Pity we haven't a squirt of flit.
Ladies and gentlemen, before the train arrives, I would like to call on Mr. Gallagher to give us a verse of the song he composed himself.
I was going to announce that.
The Ballylennon song.
Oh, Mrs. Hawthorne, the lonely make a laugh at me.
Come on, give us a verse.
I borrowed this loud hailer for you.
I suppose it better.
I'll sing the last verse.
I'll give you the note. I have perfect pitch. Did you know I have perfect pitch? Love.
I walked alone this April day by Lennon's flowing streams. The place is just the same as when I dreamed my childhood dreams.
Oh,
Hello, Mr. McConkie.
Hello, Mr. Fawner. It's not often we see you in the shop.
Is your sister not in?
My sister's up in bed with a touch of the cold.
Hmm. Do you know what she should do? She should warm a brick on the range and wrap it in flannel, so she should, and put the hot brick against her back. You have to mind to let the brick cool a minute, because it could scorch the flannel.
Oh.
Or set the bed afire. You wouldn't want that.
Now, what can I get you?
I was looking to hear, was there any news from America? They're not letting me use the phone down at the station now. Doesn't that strike you as stingy?
No news. But the final isn't until Wednesday.
Well, I suppose there's time enough. I have my piece written, but there'll be details to fill in.
How do you mean?
I've described Gerard Gallagher's triumph, and if he doesn't win, I'll only have to change it to near triumph.
Whatever way it goes, he'll likely send a telegram to Mrs. Hawthorne, being his teacher. But I'll give you the word on that telegram before I ring it through to her.
There's another thing. Are all the census forms back yet?
No. I think some people have difficulty knowing how to fill them in.
I'd be interested to know if the population's gone up or coming down.
I'll glance through a few of the forms before I send them on to the returning officer.
You and Mrs. Hawthorne were saying she might have news of a baptism. That'll mean the population's gone up by one. But against that, we have the death of Canon Friel and Jeremiah Quilligan, the horse dentist who died of the croup.
I'll let you know what I see in the forms.
And I'll see to it you get a free copy of the Vindicator next week, so good luck, Miss McConnell.
Bye now.
Muriel! Yes, I'm getting up,
Mrs. Hawthorne told Stumpy Bonner there'd soon be news of a baptism.
Isn't that what we were thinking? But I thought it was all talk. Are there no customers in the shop?
Not many.
Oh, well, then I think I'll go back to bed.
Do you think it is all talk? Imagine three of them in that house, and the canary.
And imagine what you'd be like if God Gallagher wins this thing. Oh, there'll be no stop to her bragging.
Sure, he'll never win, Muriel. Do you know the way we were joking about all the time the guard spends over at the manse?
Mm-hmm.
And now the bits of hints from herself about a happy event?
Oh, it couldn't be Vera. A timid kind of policeman who gets a fright every time he hears a car beep. Oh, so they're only playing duets.
Duets? Is that what they're calling it now?
Vera. Oh, Vera, stop it.
Ally Lennon was written by Christopher Fitzsimon. Fonsy Docherty was T.P. McKenna. Muriel McConkie, Margaret Darcy. Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker. Vivian Hawthorne, Anya McCartney. Guard Bernard Gallagher, John Hewitt. And Stumpy Bonner, Gerard McSorley. Ally Lennon was directed in Belfast by Peter Cavanagh.